All right, tonight, if you have your Bibles, we've actually studied up to the beginning of the third chapter. But there are so many fundamental truths that are in this book. There's a lot of quotations in the first chapter from the Old Testament. The second chapter, the same thing. And I believe, it doesn't make any difference who the human author of the book of Hebrews was, but it couldn't be Paul. And the reason it couldn't be Paul is because of verse 3 in the second chapter, where, let's start at verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Now, all that was being preached, basically, at this point in time, was the truth of the Word of God from the Old Testament. It took a while for the New Testament books to be written. And, the gospel went to the Jews first, and also to the Greeks, or the Jewish world, the Greek world, the Hebrew-speaking world, the Greek-speaking world. And because of the conquest of Alexander the Great, the whole world spoke Greek. It was the language of commerce. And so when it came time to write the Old Testament, God gave it to the nation of Israel. They were his chosen people. They had the sacrificial system, the law, creation, all of the books of the Old Testament were written in Hebrew. And then with the public ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, came unto whom? He came unto his own. Who were his own? The nation of Israel. Okay. The Jews. So he came unto his own, and the scripture tells us about that, and his own received him not. Now, as we read the Gospels, we see that the common people heard him gladly. But the religious leaders in Israel, the big shots, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the chief priests, the Herodians, these people were religious people, made good money doing what they did, and they didn't want anybody messing with their traditions. And we see it. Well, let's go through to the book of Mark. Let me put this out here. Let's see. Is it the 7th chapter? As soon as I get there, I'll tell you. Okay. Now, this gives us a view of the religious leaders in Israel. Now, if we think about who is the writer to the Hebrews writing to, he's writing to the Hebrews. Who speak Hebrew? Jews. So, in this book of Hebrews, then we're going to see basically all of the traditions of the Jews brought around and shown to be false, and that what we will see is their salvation in not the sacrificial system, but what the sacrificial system represented. Scripture says without the shedding of blood is no remission, but it also says that the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer can never take away sin. So we had a kind of a picture. if you consider most of the people in Israel, they all spoke Hebrew, but very few of them could actually read Hebrew. Only the educated or ruling class actually spoke Hebrew. And so That was just a fact of the matter. But then when you're presenting the truth, at first, all the apostles had to use for authority was the Old Testament scriptures. Why? Because the New Testament hadn't been written yet. No. And the gospel didn't go to the Gentiles until what? About 14 years after the crucifixion of our Lord, or 14 years after the salvation of Paul, which was a year or within a calendar year of the salvation of Paul. So if the Lord was crucified in 29, as a biblical chronology shows, then Paul was saved in 30, and that means that he went up to Jerusalem 14 years after his salvation. So that would have been, so you go from 30, add 14, 44. So the gospel didn't go to the Gentiles until then. And, he went to the Gentiles a little bit before that, because he went into Galatia. He came back, and then 14 years after, he went up to Jerusalem, and that was after he had completed his first missionary journey. So at about 11 or 12 years after the death of our Lord, the gospel went basically to Jews in Asia. And the people from amongst the Gentiles that had an inclination to want to know the truth. We don't seek the Lord; the Lord seeks us. He knows us from before the foundation of the world, and there aren't any mistakes. Everyone who is a believer was what? Chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. So before there was anything, or from all eternity past, God chose us. That's, eons before there actually was a universe. And then the universe and the earth and so on and so forth. And he put man on it, and it was to be inhabited, and he was to be in control of everything. But then Eve was deceived, and she ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and God warned them that an enemy had done this. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was not put in the Garden of Eden as everybody, God created everything, so he must have put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. No, you have to read the scripture. An enemy had done this. And we see that really in the parable of the sower. The Lord Jesus Christ is a sower, and he sowed good seed, where? In his field. But then it says, while men slept, an enemy came and did what? Sowed tares in the field. Now, we have wheat and bastard wheat, or counterfeit wheat. Now, what is a knowledge of good and evil? Well, it's the basis for every religious system in the world, and it's the basis for what most people call Christianity. Now, Christianity isn't based upon our knowledge of right and wrong. Christianity is based upon the fact that God gave the nation of Israel the law. They failed under the law. He gave them the sacrificial system. And then when they failed under the law, they were to bring an appropriate sacrifice to the door of the tabernacle and to offer that sacrifice for their sins, because the scripture teaches us in this book of Hebrews, without the shedding of blood is what?
No remission.
What's remission mean? No payment. Okay? So, what does that say then about your works and my works? Your good life and my good life? Well, they're non-existent in reality, because the scripture teaches us that there's not a just man upon the earth, that what? That doeth good and sinneth not. So, what is it that has deceived the entire human race into thinking they can gain, if there's an afterlife, that they will gain it by what? Well, God will look down and see my good life, and then Peter will check me out at the pearly gates. There's no scriptural authority for any of that. You know, we were, if you were, really want to know it, you know, salvation comes to us at various times. I was saved when I was 21. Eric was saved when he was 21. Debbie was saved when she was 5. You know, each one of you, you know, you can be saved early, you can be saved late, but it never has to change. You know, Debbie didn't suddenly, when she got to be a little bit older and knew about the facts of life and all that type of thing, she didn't suddenly say, oh, I need a Savior. You know, I needed a Savior when I was 5 years old. You know, and that's the truth of the matter. Because, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. I don't care how often people will look at a beautiful baby in the crib, and what do they call that little angel? Well, Lucifer was an angel. And that little, quote-unquote, angel that you're looking down at has a sin nature just like Lucifer. He's the one that gave it to him. Yeah. And if you don't believe it, okay, mom's got work to do. She's nursed her baby, so is fed. She put on a fresh diaper. You know, and I've talked about washing diapers. Believe me, back in those days, you potty trained your kids in a hurry. You know, Debbie and Aaron are just 15 months apart. But Debbie was potty trained before Aaron was born. That doesn't happen today. And the reason it doesn't happen, because the mother doesn't have to wash diapers every day. And I'm not picking on anybody. It's just a fact, you know. And then after a while, the kid gets tired of wearing soggy diapers and says, I want big girl panties, or I want big boy shorts or something of the sort, you know. And it's rather it gets to be a bit of a problem if he's trying to play football with the other kids. And you tackle him, what's that smell? No. It becomes a practical thing after a while. But it used to be, we just did it. Because in Spokane, Washington, with a new baby and only cloth diapers, you wash diapers 7 days a week. Because on an airman's salary, I'll use my initial salary. When Joanne and I first got married, with her allotment and my base pay, we made a sum total of $165 a month. And we paid $75 a month rent. So that's what, about 90 bucks? You can't stretch 90 bucks 2 days today, especially with the inflation that has been imposed upon us. You know, we shut down the pipeline, we do this, we let Russia sell their oil. All this political maneuvering, And what do they want? They want socialism. Yeah. And I guarantee you, if you get socialism, it won't be like the ideal in Scripture where the early church had all things common. And then there was Ananias and Sapphira. They wanted credit for selling their property. But then what did they do? Well, they sold it, and they said, we got so much, but they kept back a part of it. And God said, I'm going to show you how that works. Did you get so much? Yeah. Bam, you're dead. Did you and your husband get so much? Yeah. Bam, you're dead. Now, God doesn't deal with us since then. But the thing that most people lie about the most is what they give in the offering. You know, especially back in the days when it was 100% deductible. Then the federal government, they made 501c, charities and so forth, 100% deductible. But the church, it's only 50% deductible. You only get half of what you contribute to be deducted from your total taxes. So, government's not going to leave anything alone. Why? Because there's not a judgment upon the earth that doeth good instead of not. So I brought you over here to the 7th chapter of Mark to see how our Lord dealt with the Jews and how the Jews thought. And basically, this is what they were teaching the people. And it says, then came together unto him in Mark 7:1, the Pharisees and certain of the scribes. And the Pharisees were what you would call the fundamentalists of Judaism. They believed in the virgin birth. They believed in a blood atonement. They believed all kinds of things. They didn't believe that Christ was virgin born. But, they believed that God promised a virgin born Savior. So they were basically fundamental, where the Sadducees were basically like modern day, what we call modernists. Deny the virgin birth, deny the deity of Christ, deny the necessity of a blood atonement, deny. Yeah. And then what do they substitute in it? The works of your own hand. If you're a good person, then you're going to go to heaven. Well, that's the devil's lie. So, and when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands. Oh my goodness. I saw Andre go into a bar. The same guy that said that didn't see me come out 2 minutes later with my mother and father-in-law and go into the restaurant. And it didn't mean I didn't have something to drink. I did. I ordered a Jack Daniels on the rocks with supper. I didn't get drunk, so I didn't violate any scripture. Okay. Give strong drink unto those who are, ready to perish, or strong wine unto those who are of a heavy heart, and strong drink unto those who are ready to perish. They never quote that. It's touch not, taste not, handle it, like the Pharisees. And when they come from the market, except they wash. You have to go through a ritual washing before you touch anything if you've been to the market. So you have to have water poured over your hand. Has to be poured over your hand and wash in a ritualistic fashion and dry in a ritualistic fashion in order to be ceremonially clean. You could be all scrubbed up for surgery, but if you didn't do that ritual, you ate with unwashed hands. That's how far it went. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not, and many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. We wonder all about all of this kosher stuff. In a Jewish household, you can't, the scripture says, thou shalt not seethe a calf in its mother's milk. In other words, you can't have a creamed lamb soup and use the milk from the mother. Or maybe it's a calf, it's a veal or whatever, and you're going to make a cream soup. It's not, you just can't use the mother of that particular animal to use it. It doesn't mean you can't eat milk and meat at the same time. But if you're going to form a tradition and give something that you think you can do to make you holy, then you come up with all kinds of screwball ideas. And so they except they wash, they eat not, in verse 4. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups, and of pots, and of brazen vessels, and of tables. So, you can't put cookingware in the same cupboard with your china. You know, maybe you've got a, you know, typically, you usually put the pots and pans underneath and the dishes you eat out of above. But if you get one of those dishes down with a pan, it isn't somehow or other unclean. You know, we do it for convenience sake. But the Jews did it so that if you have milk and butter and cream and things of that sort, and you're trying to keep it from souring, you have to chill it. So you put that in one refrigerator. And then if you have meat, you put that in a second refrigerator. So Orthodox Jews all have two refrigerators. Now, when I was a kid, if you bought a refrigerator, it usually lasted for 15 or 20 years. You know, I mean, they just didn't break down in those days. You know, now, in fact, that washing machine that Joanne used to wash the diapers with, yeah, we got rid of it and got one that spins dries and all that sort of thing, and ultimately got a dryer. But I bet if we still had that old green upright washing machine with a wringer on the top, it would still be working today, because they made things back then to last, and now it's made with obsolescence, you know, so that, you know, if you're going to put new appliances in your kitchen, you know, I shouldn't say this, but I have the same microwave that we put in the kitchen when we remodeled it back in, let's see, what year was that? It was 84. You know, 84, you know, that's 16 years plus 22 years. You know, they don't last that long now, folks. You know, back then they were still had the mindset to make something that were for a long time, and I probably put a curse upon myself. bragged about my old microwave, and it's not a little bitty one; it's a big one over the stove. Okay, now. He answered and said unto them, well, hath Isaiah, in verse 6, prophesied of you hypocrites. What is a hypocrite? In Greek, a hypocrites, that's the Greek word, was an actor on a stage. And in the past, all of the actors were male. You know, when you read about Shakespeare, and Shakespeare being portrayed in the park, today they use, female actresses along with the male actresses, but originally all of the actors were men. You know? And if you saw Danny DeVito, and what was the name of that?
Renaissance.
Yeah, Renaissance man. He was teaching the dummies in the army a little bit about Shakespeare. Took them to Canada to see Shakespeare and so forth, and they really got into it. Yeah. It's an excellent movie. But, it's just one of those facts that's related in that movie. Now, and he said unto them, full well, ye reject the commandments of God. What is the commandment of God? You know, it doesn't say commandments, it's commandment singular. It's the word of God. It's what God has said. You know, and much of what was available at this point in time was law. Because, you know, that's basically all that we have in the Old Testament. We have the promise of the Savior in the sacrificial system. We have the promise of the virgin birth of Christ. We have a description of his crucifixion on the cross of Calvary in the 22nd Psalm. All the, basically what you find in the New Testament is hidden in shadows and types in the Old Testament. But these, the religiously elite, or the religious elite, were ignorant of these things. They just held their position because of money and power. And so, it says, he said unto them, though well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. So you do these things to make yourself feel good, to make yourself think that you're accepted of God, when therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified where? In God's sight. Well, I don't think it does you much good to be justified in a traditional Jewish interpretation, but condemned by the law of God. No. And the Jews said, all that the Lord has spoken, what? We will do. Did they? No. But that's what they promised. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. In other words, there was a strict punishment for failing to obey your parents. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, now, I'm 90 years of age. I have enough income just simply because when I had a heart attack when I was 50, I bought a policy, $50,000 policy on myself. And then later on, I got a policy on Joanne. And then as things worked out, when Joanne passed, we learned about life legacy. So we didn't have a lot of less, expenses. We had the memorial service here. I preached it. It wasn't any problem for me to preach that my wife's no longer with me. She's home with the Lord. I should cry about that? Yeah. No, it's perfectly okay to mourn the death of a loved one. I'm not saying anything about that. But all I could do when Joanne was taken 3 years ago, this December, when she was taken 3 years ago, she had spent the prior 3 years in so much physical pain because of the osteoporosis that she had. Her bones were eaten up like a bunch of termites in a tree. And so she didn't complain about it. She was in church virtually every Sunday, every Wednesday night, when I had to be away and do things, little by little, it was more of a burden on me. I had to take care of more things for her. And that was hard, But when the Lord took her, it was a blessing. And, I think about her all the time. It's funny. I sleep in a recliner. And every now and then, I will move in that recliner, and the arm feels like Joanne's hip. Brings back that old memory, of when we slept together in the same bed. And I'll feel that arm of that chair, and it's just like being close to her, in the night. It brings back fond memories. Then I wake up and I'm disappointed. It's just an old arm. Okay. The Jews could not keep the law. But they said what? All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Now, under the canopy of Christianity, and this is what the writer to the Hebrews is doing, he's teaching Jews of the diaspora that were scattered abroad. He's teaching them about their responsibility as believers in Jesus Christ, to a law that's been what? it's been abrogated. It was fulfilled by our Lord and set apart. Okay? So we have, we're no longer under the law. Now, is the law good and right and holy? Absolutely. There's not one thing wrong with the law. What's wrong with the law? We are what's wrong with the law. We haven't the capacity to keep it. So if I'm a legalistic preacher and trying to get you to live your life so that others will look at your life and want to be like you, and that never happens, they just look at you and say, look at that hypocrite, or that actor. It's just pretense. And you know it's pretense. They know it's pretense. But 99 and 44, 100% of the preachers in this country are teaching their congregations to live that way. To live a lie. What good is that going to do you? Absolutely. What good is living a lie going to do anybody? Now, what does the scripture say about sin? If we should say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So, the fact that that fellow from First Baptist Church saw me go in the old log cabin inn, I went in there to get my mother and father-in-law. So he saw me go into a bar. But I didn't go into the bar for a drink. I got that later when I had supper. And there's nothing wrong with that. The scripture doesn't say that we can't have a drink. It says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. And of course, give strong drink unto those who are ready to perish. So then you need to get a little bit high to cover the pain. But you'll never hear that in 99 and 44, 100% of the churches in this country or in the world. Now let's go back to Hebrews. So, let's begin at verse 5 of the second chapter. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak. Now, angels visited men on various occasions. And the Lord came with other angels and met with Abraham in the plains of Mamre. Angels are individually created beings. They're spiritual beings. Now, it says, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? And that's in the sixth psalm and also in the eighth psalm. Thou madest him, that is man, what? When we were created in Adam, we took a position that was lower than the angels. That's how we were created. Okay? And then thou crownest him with glory and honor and did set him over the works of thy hand. Everything God put into Adam's hand. Adam and Eve were to, they were to care for the garden. And of course, we don't know how long it took before the devil planted the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden. But what is the knowledge of good and evil? It's a counterfeit of righteousness. God is righteous. God is holy. God is just. But a knowledge of good and evil or man's morality is a counterfeit. No one can make themselves like God by performing imperfect deeds. And that's all that man can do. So, it says, thou madest him, man, a little lower than the angels in verse 7. Thou crownest him, man, with glory and honor. Thou didst set him, man, over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Now, as we continue, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. Now, the important part of the verse. I've got it underlined in red in my Bible. But now we see not yet all things where? Under man. Is man in control of anything in this world? Not really. You know, they war, strife, lie, cheat, all this type of thing. But we see Jesus. Now, who is Jesus? Well, Jesus is God who became a man through the virgin birth. Why a virgin birth? Because in order to redeem us, a redeemer has to be a near kinsman. Now, so when we talk about Christmas and all the lies that are associated with Christmas, and that's all about, oh, you children be good little boys and girls, and Saint Nicholas will come. He's long before, back in the horse and buggy days, Saint Nicholas was going to make it around the world, every household in, 24 hours. Pretty amazing. Yeah. And, kids, they figured out, So I wouldn't take Santa Claus away from any little kid. The kids are smarter than the parents. Parents want to keep the hoax going, But it was rather cruel in the old days. You didn't have a tree with a whole bunch of toys, bicycles, motorbikes, boom boxes, whatever. You didn't have that. Above the mantle, you hung a stocking. And if you lived somewhere other than California or Florida, people would buy oranges for children for Christmas because it's something they never got that time of the year otherwise. And you might have an orange, and then guess what would happen? When you got to be about 10 or 12 years old, you go to your stocking and open it up, and what would be there? An onion. The onion said, "That's the last of the goodies. You're too old for this." Okay? So, pretty abrupt. Okay. So, concerning Jesus Christ, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. He created everything, and everything is under his control. Okay? But for in that he put all in subjection under him, we're talking about man here, rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou hast put all things under man's feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But what? Because of the fall in the garden. But now we see not yet all things under him. So we lost our authority over creation when Eve was deceived and Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But we see Jesus. Now, God has a solution, and he showed that solution to Adam and Eve. When, after they sinned, what was the first thing that they did? They sewed fig leaves together because they were naked. Now, they'd never felt shame before, but with their newfound knowledge of good and evil, morality, they were ashamed in one another's presence, naked. They'd been naked from the day that they'd been created. So he says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, in verse 9, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for whom? Every man. Now, that's the whole world. The whole Muslim world, the whole Hindu world, the whole whatever it is. He died for them all. But they can't make it to heaven by believing in Hinduism. They can't make it into heaven by believing any thing but that Jesus is God who became a man through the virgin birth, lived his life, fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, and then made one sacrifice for sin forever so that he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but how? But by me." See? So you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about your life, whether you saw Andre go into a bar or not. It's not whether you went out and had a nice evening dancing. Well, heaven forbid. Yeah. We've made it so many things sin that aren't sin, and so many things that are sin. You know, we practice those and think we're holy. Pretending that you're holy is sin. It's the lie of the devil that you can be like God by your knowledge of what? Right and wrong, good and evil. What is that? It's morality. What is every religious system in the world based upon? Man's morality. So it's universal. Now, Christianity is not about morality at all. Christianity is about a sacrificial system, because without the shedding of blood, there's no payment. So God himself, in order to satisfy holiness, righteousness, justice, only God could do it. So God, in the second person of the Godhead, in the person of Jesus Christ, was born of a woman, because he had to be related to man in order to redeem man. He's a kinsman redeemer, related to us. So he lived his life as a Jew, and he never failed in the law, because in him is no sin at all. All of the rabbis, all of the chief priests, all of the authors of Scripture were all sinners, because there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's none righteous. How many? No. Not even one. We all come from a base of thinking according to our moral conscience, which is as variable as the various systems of the world are variable. But there's only one way into the presence of God, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. For it became him, that is Christ, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. He created the entire universe. Yeah, that means the Scripture says that God created it, the universe. Well, there's no lie. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one God. Now, that shouldn't be strange to us. I've got one body. That's what you know me by. Yeah. And then within that body, I have my soul. That's my personality. And then when I was 21 years of age, the spirit that died in Adam was made alive again by the quickening power of the Spirit of God and the Word of God to my sins, which were laid on Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And God gave me the faith to believe it, and I became a living soul. So I'm a triune being, just like my Father in heaven is a triune being. Created how? In the image of God. So, for both he that sanctifieth, or set apart, and they who are set apart, are all of one. That is, we have that position in Christ. For which cause, Christ, God, who created everything that exists, we are of him, and when we see him, we shall what? Be like him. That's absolutely amazing. But how were we created in the first place? In Adam, we were created in the image of God. And then Eve was taken from his side because God in his foreknowledge knew that Eve would need a redeemer. And in order to be a redeemer, the redeemer had to come from Adam, not from Eve. And the Redeemer came from the Father, who, literally spoke his body into the womb of Mary. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea. He lived his life as a Jew, fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, fulfilled all righteousness, and did what? Gave himself, as portrayed in animal sacrifices, as a ransom or the payment for sin. I can't pay for my sins. You can't pay for your sins. But God can, and he did. And his payment satisfies God in his holiness, in his righteousness, and in his justice. Anything that we do only besmirches those traits of God. Let me read a couple of more verses. For it became him of whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain or the author, the originator, the instigator of their salvation, what? Perfect through suffering. He made the one perfect sacrifice. Yeah. Paid for our sins with blood, which was not tainted with sin. And all human blood is tainted with sin. That's why Jesus had to be born of a virgin. So the Father and all the blood that flows in a baby's veins comes not from its mother, but from its Father. So the blood that was in the veins of Jesus Christ came from God the Father. For both he that sanctifieth, that is God, and they that are sanctified, that is us, or the Lord Jesus Christ, and we as his children, are all of one, that is of Christ, for which cause he's not ashamed to call, you know, think about who you are and what you've done and what who I am and what I've done with my sin nature, you know. And then God says, by a singular act of faith which I gave to you to exercise, I made you, you know, equal with my son. Now, we don't see him that way yet because we've not yet been glorified. So in this life, I can't do the things that he did. In this life, I'm going to sin because I have a sin nature. But when I'm raised and glorified and adopted at the last trump, what does it say? When we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So I want to read four more verses and we'll stop. And again, I will put my trust in him. The trust that I put in Jesus Christ when I was 21 years of age, didn't come from me. It was a gift from God, a gift of faith, so that I could exercise it. It wasn't my free will. It was God acting on my free will with his will to give me the faith to believe. So I can't even boast in my salvation. And so I'll declare my name unto my brethren in the midst of the assembly. Will I sing praise unto thee, and again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. What? Well, we celebrated at Christmas, even though Christ was born in the spring at the time of Passover. You know, so he also himself likewise took part of the same. He took a human body because he had a human mother. But God was his father, so in him was no sin at all. Okay? That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. The devil introduced death in the Garden of Eden, and the Lord Jesus Christ paid the solution for death on the cross of Calvary. And when he raised himself from the dead and took 144,000 Jews into heaven with him, the first fruits unto God, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That's you and me, subject to a sin nature, all of our lifetime. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, born of Abraham after the flesh. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to what? Change us completely, reconcile us for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tried, he is able to succor or to comfort them that are tempted. We've all been tempted. It was in Adam and Eve. And so in Adam all die. So in Christ, what? All are made alive. So why do we have eternal life? Because we don't smoke, don't drink, don't spit, don't chew, do all the things that naughty boys and girls do. That is the devil's damn lie. And damn is the right word because it'll bring judgment on everyone who thinks that way. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Pray that you'll bless it to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.